Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Joint Standing Committee on the Judiciary. We are so grateful to the chiefs of the Wabanaki Nations who have come today to introduce themselves to us. We're going to start by introducing ourselves to you. I know you've been in this room before, and but we have some new members. And so we'll start with you, Representative O'Halloran.
Hi, I'm Danny O'Halloran. I represent District 20 in Brewer, Maine, and I'm looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say today and meeting you. Thank you.
Good afternoon. I'm Rachel Henderson. For those of you who don't know me, I represent House District 78, which are the beautiful towns of Bethel, Byron, Milton, Hanover, Roxbury, and my hometown of Rumford.
Good afternoon. I'm David Sinclair. I'm here for House District 50, which is the city of Bath on the Kennebec.
Hello there, I'm David Hagan, Senate District 10, Hamden, Newburgh, Carmel, Brewer, Bucksport, Holden, Orrington, Dedham, Clifton, Otis. I got to find a different way to do that. There's 12 of them.
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Rachel Talbot Ross. I represent Senate District 28, which is part of Portland on the peninsula and the islands.
Good afternoon. I'm Jennifer Poirier. I represent House District 70, which is Skowhegan. Good to see you all.
Good afternoon. I'm Adam Lee. I represent House District 89, which is downtown Auburn, as well as New Auburn.
Hi, my name is Ellie Sato. I represent House District 109, which is part of Gorham.
Good morning. I'm Aaron Dana, the Passamaquoddy Tribal Representative. I represent these two amazing chiefs over here.
Good morning and welcome. My name is Elizabeth Caruso, and I represent House District 72, which is Northern Somerset County. Glad you're here.
Good afternoon. I'm Mark Badman, representing District 3, Northeast Somerset County. Thank you for being here.
Dylan, could you please introduce yourself?
Absolutely. Hi, good afternoon, everyone. I'm Dylan Pugh, I represent District 114 in Portland, and sorry to be joining virtually, but happy to be here today.
And I'm Amy Kuhn. I represent House District 111 in the town of Falmouth, and I'm the House Chair of the committee. Thank you all so much for coming today.
And I'm Ann Carney. We're so honored to have you with us this afternoon. I serve Senate District 29, which includes South Portland, Cape Elizabeth, and a little bit of Scarborough, and I serve as the Senate Chair. And as I said, we're really honored to have you here today. We have a list of, you know, an order on our list, but I don't feel that it's my place to call you up in any particular order. We just would love to have you approach, and if you can use the microphone so that we can all hear you, and just tell us anything you wish to share with us. And if you're willing to have some questions from committee members, let us know, and you might get a few questions. And do you want me to, Chief Sabatis, would you like to start?
I should know better by now.
Yeah, and I put you on the spot by asking you to volunteer to go first. If you don't want to, that's fine.
I'm fine. I think
anything you wish to share is great.
Absolutely. First, I just want to say thank you and hello to everyone on the Judiciary Committee. I see some familiar faces and some new faces. I'll try not to bore you with reiterating things that I say all the time, but I think it's great that you've offered an opportunity for us to come here. I have to share that we did a meet and greet. I think it was at the governor's house when I first got into office, and it was with the larger legislature. And probably more than half of the people that I spoke with, either one didn't know that there were even tribes here in Maine at that point. This was 2017. Or two knew there were tribes but didn't know that Maliseet and Mi'kmaq existed. I think our location makes it a little difficult being up in, you know, northern Maine, but I feel like at this point the relationships have changed for the better here. I know that we have some heartburn over different things sometimes, but I definitely appreciate the fact that I feel like if I went into that same room today with all of the representatives and senators, that I would not get the same reception or the same feedback that people don't know that we're here, because we definitely are still here. So just a little context. We are, for anybody who doesn't know, the Bandamalsi Indians. I'm the chief of the tribe there, and we are located in northern Maine and Houlton. We've been there for thousands of years and historically have inhabited northern and eastern what is now Maine. One of seven Maliseet nations. We're the only one in the United States. And so I also have a good relationship with the tribes just over the border in New Brunswick. So going back, I think I need to go back to 1980. So I want to just talk a little bit about, where the tribes were in 1980. Briefly, and the nation in general, I think, was making a shift from termination and assimilation of our tribal nations to wanting to make sure that we were able to be successful and thriving, and so making policies instead around self-determination. So, around the very same time, there were negotiations here in the state of Maine around land settlement, which kind of pulled in rights. And unfortunately, while that larger shift is taking place across the nation, we, because of that law, were not able to access those federal beneficial laws meant to help us thrive as nations. Not only the past laws, but there's a provision in that settlement language that says that we're also not able to access anything moving forward unless it's explicitly stated. So it does create some challenges. I think that the tribes, at least I can speak for ours, and I can't imagine that the others didn't either, were entering in this agreement here in Maine in good faith that if there were anything or unintended consequences that happened moving forward, that we could come back to the table and fix those things so that weren't causing barriers and challenges or inequities for our tribes. Unfortunately, there was a little delay, and I think it's taken about 40 years, but now I feel like we're headed in a good direction and those things are starting to happen. So for those of you who have been here, I appreciate your willingness to have a lot of conversations and even support some of the things, even though, I know that there's a lot of conversation about unintended consequences when it comes to doing anything that changes these bills. I know that for you all, I can't imagine anyone being okay with creating a law that says that you can't change it if you feel like it's not working. So I'm hopeful that we can continue to do this here for this Settlement Act, because I do feel like it should be a living document just like every other. And if we're telling you that it's not working, that you take that for what it is and see if you can help us figure out a way forward so that we can make things better for not only our nations, but our citizens. Because, while we might have similar issues within, Maine citizens and tribal citizens, some of the things that cause those same issues are not the same. And just like you probably know how best to take care of your citizens or do things for yours, we also know what the issues are and how to best address those. So moving forward, I think you're going to see some of the same stuff that you've seen in the past legislatures around the Settlement Act and seeing what we can do. I know that for us, we're really working on strengthening our court. We have a wellness court now, which is a drug court. We were able to get funding through multiple sources and at this point have been up for just about a year, and we have people in recovery. There's still a lot of issues that I think that we share. And I'm hoping that, I can look at doing stuff around substance use and how we can, and addressing those things. At this point, we're trying to look at how we can get people into recovery homes. I think Wabanaki Public Health and Wellness works for all of us, and they're doing some things, but it's not always accessible for everyone. We have people, we're about an hour and a half from Bangor, where a lot of the stuff is. Our closest homeless shelter from Houlton is about an hour away. So if you don't have transportation or if all of your resources are in Houlton, it's really a struggle to be able to do anything or go away to be homeless and able to even in order to be eligible for different services. So there's, I'm sorry if I'm all over the place. Right now, I think one of our biggest priorities, just like I think the state, for the state it is, we are struggling with people with substance use. So I'm hoping that we can have some conversations down the road. That is definitely going to be one of my top priorities this year. We're looking at strengthening our court also around child support enforcement. We've been working with Penobscot Nation. So there is a bill that's in that will address our ability to better manage child support enforcement. We're currently doing this as part of a consortium with Penobscot Nation, but that's just in the hopes of building our capacity to be able to do that on our own. Obviously for tribes, it's great when we can work together, but we still want to be able to exercise our own authority versus being under another government, and that even means another tribal government. I think the other thing that you'll be seeing, at least from our tribe, is around being a utility district. And again, I think that some of that ability comes with being designated as a municipality. I'm hoping that as a tribal nation, we will not have to have that designation in order to exercise our authority and be able to have those same rights. There is definitely some funding that's out right now, and the tribes are working together on clean energy, and to not be part of that because we can't exercise our authority as a tribal nation because we're not designated under another government as a town, seems like a barrier that should not exist. I think I am going to go ahead and let the people behind me talk and not keep you here all day. You know, I think you'll see some sovereignty stuff coming in. And as I talked about, you know, having access to federal beneficial laws, I think is extremely important. And even to add to that a little bit, I think when we talk about not having access to that, I know that in the past we've heard a lot about, you know, gaming is the only thing that we want. That's not true. However, we've seen how that can be a success. And it's one of the things that is afforded to other tribes across the nation, or has been for a long time, that gave them the ability to begin having government revenue that then let them diversify and go into other sorts of businesses. So while I use that as an example, that, you know, I just want you to understand, if people talk about gaming, it's not because that's the only thing, but we've seen where it's been able to open doors for other tribes. And that is an example that is, I think, one of the most glaring for people when it comes to having access to federal beneficial laws. but again, I think I'm going to stop. And if there's anything else, or if you have any questions, I welcome you to ask me, but also I may come back up and add a little bit more if I think of anything.
Wonderful. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Well, how you doing?
Wonderful. Welcome. Could you turn on the mic, please? Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah. Good afternoon. My name is Edward Peter Paul. I'm chief of the Mi'kmaq Nation. We have 1,600 citizens in our community. Clarissa was great. She kind of touched on everything, all inclusive. You know, what I want to say is that it's nice to have the state be willing to negotiate all these laws with our nation. You know, we all need this to be able to prosper. We're slowly building our court. We weren't recognized the same time as the other tribes. We were recognized in 1991. We're part of a bigger Mi'kmaq nation. And on the other side of the border, there's 28 other tribes, such as mine, in the Maritime Provinces. You know, we have a big footprint here in the Northeast, and we really want to focus on you know, tourism, our economy, and really to get, you know, to where we want to be, it takes jurisdiction, it takes relationships, it takes building all of this. I mean, you see on our license plate, it's vacation land, but it's like, to me, everybody's going like, you know, down in Southern Maine or Bar Harbor. You can't even get through there in the summer. It's like, but we have all these other tribes and culture and traditions that, you know, we want to share with everybody. But it's like, we have to get our house in order first, you know, and it takes, you know, negotiating these laws to be able to do that. So it's, you know, always in our best interest to come to this table, to negotiate, to educate, to let people know what we really need to be able to be successful, you know, in the Maine economy. So, but that's all I got.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Umkwe Buzahas Bassett. I'm the chief of the Passamaquoddy tribe at Zabayag. I'm wondering if that came up the correct spelling on my name.
Yeah.
I was wondering. So in translation, my name means Robin. There's a story behind that. I'm glad to share with everybody here at some point. But I am honored to be here this afternoon. And this dialogue between the tribes and the state, I'm very new to. You know, for me, I like to focus on my community and the community first and see what I can do there. So I really don't travel much to Augusta. However, I do love the travel from Zabayag to Augusta. You drive across Route 9 and, you know, you're able to see some of the beautiful sights the state has to offer. Representative Henderson, the Bethel area is near and dear to my heart. It really is. My grandparents owned a motel there in a campground for a lot of years, so I summered there a lot. So it was it's a beautiful area, that area as well. So for me, some of the issues that we have that Chief Sabatis outlined, I think for examples are needed so you all really understand what we deal with. right now, we're trying to launch our ambulance service back up. It was basically, we stopped funding it because of a lot of the people didn't want to get that vaccine. So we lost a lot of employees. And so we switched the service to a local service outside of our community, and trying to get the service back has been such a huge task to get the state to give us our license back. We've got the funding, we got the people, we got the equipment, and I've been waiting probably since August of last year just to get our license back. So those are the challenges that we as a community deal with. There's another challenge when it comes to law enforcement and being certified through the state, even though we go through a federal process as well. Getting the state to recognize that federal process has been challenging as well. And just so everybody's aware, the only two law enforcement communities in Washington County that are 24/7 is Zabayag and Indian Township. So we get called out to all the surrounding communities, all the way out to Calais from where I'm at. That's 22 miles away. We respond to calls in Calais every morning. So I get why the state wants to make sure that we're certified and have all the training. But if we compare apples to apples, that training is going to be the same. So those are two examples that what we deal with. And there's many, many more. So I'm from, they call it the Saltwater Tribe, when we compare each other, and that's the freshwater up here. So we have a very strong background in the fisheries, and working with the Department of Marine Resources sometimes can be challenging as well. So those are the areas that I really want to focus on outside of all the other sovereignty bills and issues. And I'm willing to leave my cell number. It's, if you want to write it down, it's 207-214.
Let me just, if What's you that? Can, everything that we say is accessible to everybody on the face of the earth.
Who has internet. It's already on Facebook.
Well, if you don't mind giving it to us after the meeting, and then our committee staff can circulate it among us.
But if you have any direct questions for me, I'm willing to answer calls anytime. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank Appreciate you. It. Can I just ask?
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
I believe that the transcription probably totally messed up your name.
It messed it out.
And I'm still recovering from a cold, and one of my ears is plugged. Could you repeat your name again, please?
Yeah, it's Amqui Buzahas.
Thank you.
Yep. Did it come up? Amqui Buzza.
Yes, go ahead.
Thank you so much. I believe that we have Passamaquoddy's up by Jackman.
We do.
So how are, do you also, are you the chief of that as well, or how does that work?
So you're going to have Passamaquoddy's throughout the whole state, if not through the country. We have Passamaquoddy's that live out in Japan, Hawaii. So we're all over the place, but we have a lot of land in the Jackman area. So where Chief Nicholas has a couple of businesses for his community up there, we have some of our members that live there now.
So if there are issues about Jackman, we can go talk to you.
Okay. Oh yeah, great. I love Jackman too. So thank you. Any more questions?
Thank you so much.
Thank you for allowing us to be here today to be able to be heard and at least meet a lot of the new members, because when I got here earlier today, I wanted to know how many new members there were. And, and looking around, there's different faces. So it's important that we give a very thorough rundown, at least in the upfront, so that representatives and senators that are on these Judiciary Committee and other parts of the legislature, that it's a learning process when it comes to the tribes. Not all the tribes are in the same situation, but socially and socially or economically. Socially, we have a lot of the same issues, but the economics are different for all the reservations. The Passamaquoddy tribe is unique in its status because we have two reservations. We're one federally recognized tribe, but we're also recognized as two separate administrations with two censuses and two communities that we are responsible for. So that's where you see Chief Wiz Bassett as saltwater, but we'll say he's a Bayou. And I represent Madoknagook, which is Peter Dana Point or Indian Township Reservation. We alternate our representative every 4 years and to each community. So when Representative Dana's term runs out, that term will then go to a community member that's on the census for Sabaic. So that's how it's worked historically throughout the years. And I just want to give you a little bit of a rundown. I'm going to be a little bit more thorough with a few things. I think the chiefs here have touched on some of the economics that hinder economic development and a few things throughout the state of Maine that affect each one of the tribes differently, I guess. Fortunately, I don't know if I want to say if it's fortunately, but I'm on my fourth term as chief. When I'm done with this term, I'll have 16 years. So I've been able to be in office long enough to be able to spend a lot of my time on economic development, building capacity and employment, and really spend a lot of time on the day-to-day operations when it comes to business. When I heard from where everybody was here, there's a part of us in every one of your towns, because this is Wabanaki territory, right? So welcome to Wabanaki territory. I don't say that to offend anybody, but this at one time was Indian country, and it still is. But we all have ways that we have to be able to work together to be able to come to some conclusion and some agreement so that we have the capacity to bring it back to our communities and be able to provide better. And fortunately, I've been able to work with my vice chief. By the way, he's not here today. He's got the flu. And I think you all know that's spreading across the state pretty rapidly. So Hopefully he feels well in the next few days, but we've been able to work together with our councils and our community to be able to build a good capacity, and hoping that we're able to work with the chiefs that are all sitting here and get to that point of helping them as well at some point in collaboration. And that doesn't always happen. Willie Gizzy Busquare, Sagam William Nicholas Deliwiz, Peskudamukot Nil, Madok Migu Nujayal. In Passamaquoddy, that means good afternoon. I am Chief William Nicholas. I am Passamaquoddy. And my community is Madok Migu, which means Indian Township or Peter Dana Point. I've been through a little bit of the unique status of the Passamaquoddy tribe. The Passamaquoddy tribe at Indian Township Reservation is the largest reservation in the state. We are 23,000 acres on our reservation. We just, in the last 3 years, have purchased another 7,700 acres of fee land adjacent to our reservation. Total land population for the Passamaquoddy tribe is about 130,000 acres. We're continually buying property as it becomes available, and we pay a hefty price for it most of the time, but the value and the meaning of the property to us is more than what most people probably would pay. And we do work with some nonprofits and others that help us with them purchases at times as well that have come forward over the last few years. Passamaquoddy Tribe Indian Township, we just purchased 120 acres adjacent to our reservation, which was important to our community last week. That 120 acres was a little bit expensive, but the landowner that sold it to us agreed not to cut it, which would also help with our maple syrup business because there was a stand of maple on the property. So we were able to get that property, and it's adjacent to the reservation. And at some point, we'll be moving to get that put into trust. And I know all of you will get educated pretty quickly about trust land, fee land, and other lands, annexed lands, and other lands of the tribes. We employ at Indian Township about 200 employees within the administration. Give or take, there's a few more within our businesses, which includes a fully staffed health center, public works, police department, warden service, fire and rescue, emergency management, 24-hour police dispatch, one of only two in Washington County, youth and recreation, tribal court, juvenile wellness court, and elderly services. Chief Bassett and I, I'm still active in law enforcement. I don't know why I'm still doing it. I can't get paid, but I still do it. Both of us are certified law enforcement officers, or I'm not sure if he's kept his certification active, but we're also warden service graduates like Aaron, and multiple other areas of law enforcement training and backgrounds. Our courts, we have two locations for courts, one in Sabayag, one in Madok Migu. And we operate, right now we're up to Class D jurisdiction. Last session it was raised to, I believe, felony Class C jurisdiction. We haven't implemented it in our court because it's not funded. One of them reasons it's not funded is we are not part of the state's pool of courts and funding sources, and Department of Justice has not funded, and I don't look like they're going to fund, we're still pushing it, to fund part of our court system so that we can take on people through felony jurisdiction. We also, OVW and VAWA, that's been passed as well. We haven't implemented that into our court to bring non-tribal members into our court because of funding. So when we do come in and we're asking in reference to economic development, and some of it may be gaming, some of it may be different things in different pots, we have to fund a majority of them, court and other projects ourselves. So we're not actually getting state funding to put an individual in jail for 365 days or 5 years, right? We have to pay that. So you got to be able to sustain that law with your funding, and with current funding statuses, majority of what we bring in business profits, and our reservations are a zero tax base. So we operate a lot on business profits, and some of it from federal programs. So It's a priority to get that into our court system. It's been passed here, and it's something that we're working on, but the funding mechanism is not there to keep that that piece of the court going. We hold court once a month, sometimes twice, including our child welfare system, and our child welfare is within the jurisdiction of the Passamaquoddy tribe. We work closely with the state because there are tribal members that are across the state of Maine, and we take complete jurisdiction over them, tribal members, once we're made aware in them situations. Businesses that we own jointly through the Passamaquoddy tribe is Passamaquoddy Wild Blueberry Company and our partnership between Madogmigug and Sabayig with DraftKings on sports betting. Individually for our reservation, we own Taps and Maple Inn in Moose River, Maine. We also own Passamaquoddy Maple. And the next time we come down, we'll try to bring some bottles of syrup for all of you so that you can have a little bit of taste of our syrup organically. We also own Bear Lodge and cabins on Big Long Lake at Indian Township. We operate High Stakes Bingo, which you'll probably hear a lot about in the legislature, off and on at Indian Township. We draw people from Brunswick, York, Southern Maine, and buses all the way up to our High Stakes Bingo. We have a partnership with American Unagi in Waldoboro, Maine, which is an eel growing facility with Sarah Redemaker. We're just one of the partners. I think we may be one of the larger partners. And we have been with that business for about 3 years. We have two 8A companies for federal contracting, one in Mechanicsville, Maryland, the other one in Fredericksburg, Virginia. Them are audiovisual contracting, where we go into military bases and we tear out and remodel audiovisual and classrooms for training as one. And we also do a lot of contracting relating to software and other things with our other company in sales. A couple projects that we're working on that you'll probably hear about. We have a $7.4 million solar project on Indian Township that we're currently funded for. That project, there's been a question raised by Eastern Maine Electric of whether or not we can put these solar panels on our businesses and homes. It's in the hands of the PUC, Utility Commission, and we're waiting to hear back from them. Our position is be in opposition, but solar is a way for us to help our families and our communities with being able to offset costs, and we're going to put them on the houses and our businesses. So we'll see where that goes. We're building a $4.5 million eel processing facility where we'll be processing American eel on Route 1 in Indian Township. We started this spring, and we'll be tearing down a new the old facility, and we're building a brand new one. And that market will be throughout the United States and overseas. We will then, as we build the market that we currently have with eels, we will then grow the eels, sort of like American Unagi is, and we're already going to be prepared to do that. So, but one step at a time. Phase one, we'll go into phase two, and we're successful with phase one. We are building 15 new homes. We just finished the infrastructure for a whole new section of homes for four-bedroom homes. We're hoping within the next year and a half, we'll have everything else completed, and we'll have the homes done to add to our building and stock for our community members. And with the emergency management and everything that you all know when you deal with floods and everything else, well, we get the same thing, and we got a lot of trees and a lot of stuff that happened in last year's storm. We built a brand new emergency management facility. We're just finishing that, where we're moving it from an older facility, but we'll always have up to 2 months worth of food, water on hand, as well as we just put in, I think, 10 or 12 new storage facilities that are adjacent to that, so we can store stuff as well, and the departments can use them that we have. And lastly, I could go on and on, we have put in 200 heat pumps, $1 million in families' homes on reservation in the last couple years. We're now working on roof replacements, windows, and furnaces to improve the living in the homes for those that otherwise can't afford to do it. And I think across the state, we all know that that's just the case, right? That not everybody can do it. And so we're trying to build the capacity and also keep employment up. In the Jackman region, it's a little bit difficult. The housing stock in that area is no longer what it used to be. A lot of people have left, and it affects business because you got to have people to work. But we're in that area. We're staying in that area, and we're going to try to employ and keep as many as we can in them regions. The Passamaquoddy tribe has lands in Washington, Hancock, Penobscot, Somerset, and Oxford County. So we're spread out in a great range. And I'm available for any questions. I appreciate you allowing us to be heard. And I look forward to working with all of you and answering questions throughout the session. And I do have cards. I'll hand them out, some business cards before we get done. So any questions?
Many thanks. Any questions, committee members? Yes, Representative Henderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And thank you, Chief Nicholas. You had mentioned that your reservations have a zero tax base. Is that directed by either the Maine Implementing Act or the 1980 Settlement Act, or is that the zero tax base something that your reservation has adopted?
Yeah, so our infrastructure, the reservations have a zero tax base.
Mm-hmm.
It's been that way for forever. I don't think it's related to the Implementation Act or anything like that. It's the tribes' sovereignty to be able to have that zero tax base. And so we don't have tax people in the area. A lot of it, you got to, if you go back when the Land Claim Settlement Act was passed, majority of our homes didn't even have sewer and water.
Yeah.
So, what are you going to charge people for when there was nothing there in the first place? Majority of the people own their homes. They built their own homes. And over time it's evolved and we've done major investments. Now it's like anything else, you may hear when you make a decision in the legislature, you got your critics, but we got critics too. I have critics. I don't have social media. I don't have Facebook. You won't find me there. I just choose not to feed into it because our jobs, all of us sitting here, is to look out for our constituents, but make life better and build a capacity. And if we all could do that, you would see the difference in a lot of different areas where, and I know politics plays in and we all disagree on some things, but one thing we all can agree is that at the end of the day, people matter. The people of the state of Maine matter, the Passamaquoddy and Wabanaki people matter. And we all have to be there to look out and make sure that we're building that capacity for future generations. So it's more of our choice. How do you get how do you get something from somebody who started off having nothing?
Well, maybe that's something that you could teach the state of Maine is a zero tax base.
Yeah.
Yes, please do.
I will real quickly say it's a learning curve to operate on a zero tax base because you spend a lot of time on business. In my own opinion, in my professional opinion, and at least from my perspective, if the state of Maine was more business friendly, people would pay less taxes. But they're not. And you've got to open up them doors and you've got to be open to things happening. And the tribes bring a lot of stuff to the table and then them things don't happen. And then all of a sudden when there's maybe a budget shortfall or something, everybody starts looking and people start piggybacking off from what the tribes bring to the table. We still don't have a casino and I don't think anybody here is asking for one. But guess what? There's two in the state of Maine. And we were the original ones that came to the table and spent all the millions of dollars to say we wanted to put them in. We wanted to put them on our reservations or within our capacity. So I have a feeling that there'll be some bills coming in reference to class two machines, I'm guessing, that will relate to what the Passamaquoddy tribe can already do in our high stakes bingo. But we're not allowed to do it because the definition of the machines we can use has changed. So that definition has to meet today's definition in order for us to put them back into our facility, which is an injustice. It should have been done last year. But I guarantee you them same machines are going to be talked about to be put across the state of Maine. And I don't hold anybody back from business. So be it. But don't hold back the Passamaquoddy, the Mi'kmaq, the Maliseet, and the Penobscot from excelling. Zero tax base, bring business. You bring business, your taxes go down. We run on business profits.
So as far as taxation, I mean, I think that there was a bill that kind of remedied taxing on our reservation lands when it comes to sales tax. I think it's a step forward, we still worry because it's not in the Settlement Act that if someone comes along and doesn't want it there, it will just go away. So it's hard to build an infrastructure based on something that you just never know is going to be there or not. The difference in the Settlement Act, for anybody who doesn't know, is in order to make that change after it's been done, the tribes and the state have to agree to it. So there's nothing getting pulled out from underneath us. Prior to that, the state of Maine had that taxation authority when it comes to sales tax and stuff on our own lands. I am currently working with our attorney, and we've had some conversations here with the AG's office. We're trying to figure out how to navigate things. So we actually have had some land surveyed and ready to do homeownership on our land, on our trust land. But the local town, depending on what it is, so if someone has a mobile home or modular, the town actually taxes that private ownership, even if it's on our land. They don't tax the land, but they will tax the person who owns the property on the land rather than us doing that. So it creates barriers because there are ways for people to have home ownership under tribal specific grants and loans and all of that. Because the town can put a lien on the property, it makes it hard for them to access those things to be able to do that on our trust land. So we're trying to navigate that right now. And it's like these guys, I mean, we've just changed it so that people don't have to pay sales tax when they're purchasing things and live and work on our reservations and our trust land. So the people that live and work also don't have to pay state taxes now, state revenue taxes. So, but to turn around and tax them and create a system I don't think we're interested in doing that. First, because I feel like we're trying to help our people, you know, be more successful living in a place that historically, Arista County and Washington County, historically are, you know, kind of on the lower end of socioeconomic status when it comes to the whole state. And even within our smaller community, the rates of poverty are higher even than the town that surrounds us and the local area that surrounds us. So we're not trying to put those in place, but even if we did, I would struggle to want to do that because if the state decides that they want to take away those tax provisions that were put into place in state law a law separate from the Settlement Act, everything could just change. And so if we make a structure for no reason, it's just a waste of time for us. So I think that's everything when it comes to taxation of our
program. Yeah, just real quick, that's an area where the difference between our reservation and your reservation is a little bit different. Some of the things I was talking about, one of the things that I believe the Mi'kmaq and the Malleson are able to do is put land into trust. In a different manner, we have to put land into trust if it's in an organized territory by the permission of the town, where you don't have to.
We have to post it.
You got
to
post.
Yeah, it. And if people.
So, but you don't need the town's approval.
Yeah, not specifically.
Yeah, so there is some differences between, you know, the original reservation territories, and then there's a difference between fee lands and also reservation land. Yeah. So it's just a learning curve, but you know, anything could change.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, anything could change at any time, but I mean, I could defer to our attorneys and they're not here, but based on my knowledge, the state cannot come in and implement a tax, any taxes within our reservation. They may be able to do it over there because of the land status, but they can't do it on Passamaquoddy Reservation. So
yeah, and I think that there definitely, I think I know there was a case before my time, way before my time, and actually had negotiated payments in lieu of taxes for our individual HUD homes that they built for low-income housing. And so they pay a set rate to the town for those homes too. So we're, that's out of our hands now, but HUD agreed to that. So funds that come from HUD pay that payment in lieu of taxes. But we also, at this point, are not at the point where we have our own police department. So we use whole police department, we use the fire department. And because early on, I mean, Settlement Act afforded us the ability to be able to establish federal programs that we could offer to our people through our reservation, and which made, you know, it made us be able to have an infrastructure that was create jobs and all of that. But, you know, we still run programs that are underfunded. So we actually signed over the infrastructure for our water to the town. So at this point, we're doing a lot. We do grant writing. We help the town with their pump stations, and we help with do things to support Holton Water Company because they're actually taking care of our stuff, and we don't have that ability to do that because we didn't have the infrastructure. So we definitely all differ, but I think, and even speaking of land, you know, the way that things were done is different. We were never declared like a municipality like, so we weren't able to do a lot of the things that Passamaquoddy and Penobscot could do. We also, you know, I know I see a lot of times in the papers or even hear conversations about how the tribes got, you know, 80 some million dollars to be able to acquire land after the settlement. Well, Mi'kmaq and Mousie got $900,000. So our land base is like 1500 acres. So it's pretty modest. But we also own some fee land that we pay taxes on like everybody else. And then we own some land that's in trust.
That answer your question?
Yeah. In a big
Representative Lee wishes to ask a question.
Maybe opening up a whole new can of worms. And Chief Francis, Chief Sabatis.
Nicholas.
Sorry.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay.
Chief Nicholas. Feel free to answer any of the other chiefs. It's about federal beneficial laws. And the 131st, we weren't able to get that over the finish line. We failed as a legislature to do that. We were told that there'd be ongoing communications about piece by piece with respect to different federal beneficial laws with the governor's office. Has there been, from your perspective, has there been progress, or what has occurred about those conversations?
I don't think I've had a conversation with anybody, but I will say that the challenge with that is, I mean, we're already kind of operating here when everyone else, we're already kind of operating here when all the other, you know, 500 something tribes are here and have access to those. And again, like I said, those laws were meant to help us thrive as tribal nations and become independent. I mean, our goal is to not have to rely on our people to even have to rely on state, but us to be able to provide everything for them. So to be here while the rest of the tribal nations are here and have to find resources to hire lobbyists and attorneys and devote all this time to coming here, not that I like seeing you all, just to be able to incrementally get to where we should already be anyways is outrageous to me. To ask us to do this as tribal nations is outrageous. I'll let you go ahead.
I mean, our position at Madawpigoog is that we know that we're up against the wall with getting any of them approved by the governor. So our focus this session is economic development. That may change as we go along, but our focus is economic development. What can we actually bring back to our community to better our community? And we will be working on, we got legislation in, and we're focusing on reality. The reality is, and we've been down this road four or five times. I mentioned the reference to courts, great gesture. A lot of work went into that, but it's unfunded. So, you know, what did it actually correct? So our focus is economic development and working on some of these projects that will bring revenue to the tribe as well as the state of Maine.
Representative O'Halloran, and you may be our last question for this. Thanks. Portion of our afternoon.
I have a question, and it's just trying to get kind of a basic understanding. So, so when you acquire new lands, is that automatically now considered part of your tribe and you don't have to pay taxes on it? And I'm only asking because you had referenced that you acquired some land and that now they wanted, the towns wanted to tax you. So if you buy new, like you had said, you bought a bunch of land. If you were to build on that, are you exempt from taxes on that land? No.
So the current acreage that we have just bought plus another like 6,700 acres that we own within our reservation, but owned jointly, them lands would be considered fee lands until they're put into trust. So nine times out of 10, we put our land into tree growth because we don't normally cut it. And then we do certain things with it. Some of the areas aren't really buildable. Some of them are. We have some homes on them. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, it's just reacquiring. For us, if we just, the property we just bought, both of them are in organized towns, so they have selectmen or, mm-hmm. or organized body. We have to have permission from them in order to put them lands into trust.
Oh, so
but if it's an unorganized territory, like in the Jackman region, there's a ton of unorganized territory land up there. If we were to buy land up there, it would just be the normal process. We would go through the interior, you know, and there's a whole process to it. But that's easier to get into trust.
Hmm. So once you put it into trust, if you wanted to build on it, could you?
Yes. Yeah, we could build on it by purchasing it. But
And the money has to be used from that settlement fund, that trust account. It can't be private revenue. If you use private revenue, there's a different pathway, and it's, I think, even harder to put it into trust.
We haven't run into that problem.
No.
Nope.
I know that they can do acquisitions through the federal government, but for us, it's been, in order to get it to go through that trust acquisition, we had to use the money that we got from our settlement.
Thank you.
A little bit different for us, but yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. If there's anything else you wish to share, just please reach out and we will do the same. Thank you so much for being with us.